32. A Stroll Through London Town. Murdo and Octavia watched as the giant pulled its iron foot through the hole and disappeared. It was as if the thing had never existed, as though they'd imagined it all. Octavia put her hand to her mouth.
I never dreamed I'd ever see anything.
She tightened her grip on his shoulder.
We must stop it, of course, but I haven't the faintest—
We could go back down the tunnel, the way we've come, and take a cab to— He paused. His mind wasn't working properly. It would take far too long to travel that far.
Never mind.
She pointed at the hole in the roof of the cavern.
That's the quickest way out.
Modo nodded.
It'll take some doing.
Scaffolding, at least 6 stories high, stood somewhat shakily below the opening. They'd have to risk their necks, but the top of the scaffolding looked close enough for them to leap up and grab the lip of the hole. Modo heard a pop and ducked, pulling Octavia down with him. They peeped through the door again, in time to see Gibbons holding up a fizzing champagne bottle and splashing its contents into glasses. Several of the men in greatcoats and Hackendotter clinked glasses.
"Let's leave them to their celebration," Octavia said.
They stole out of the train car, edging along the wall to the corner of the scaffolding, and began climbing. Modo was impressed that Octavia was able to match his speed. Soon they were clinging to the thin metal bars 3/4 of the way up. He kept an eye on the people below. Hyde was still staring at the open hole contentedly. Hackendottir shouted orders while her men set dynamite among the machines used to create the giant. Then, as though she had felt his eyes on her, she looked up directly at Modo and shouted. 2 men fired pistols. Bullets zinged off the wall behind Modo and Octavia.
"Faster!"
Octavia hissed.
"Climb!"
They scrambled higher and higher. They hoped the coal smoke and steam hanging in the air would help to hide them. The guns had stopped firing, and Modo paused to see why. Octavia kept climbing. He could just make out Hackendottir and Hyde, walking toward the train car. She put her metal hand on Hyde's shoulder. The possibility that she was being affectionate toward him made Modo feel sick. It occurred to him that they could set dynamite under the scaffolding's supports. Just then, he felt the scaffolding shaking. He looked down. A shape lunged out of the mist below.
"You won't tell anyone about this," Gibbons said, using his powerful new arm to launch himself the last few yards and latch onto Modo's ankle.
His metal fingers squeezed so hard that Modo let out a yell.
"Traitor!"
Modo shouted, trying to shake him off.
"Just a matter of shifting perspectives,"
Gibbons spat out. His eyes blazed behind his fogged glasses. He pulled so hard that Modo nearly lost his grip. They were both going to fall.
"Kick him in the head,"
Octavia yelled from above. Modo feinted a kick at Gibbons's head, then stomped on the man's good hand. Gibbons let go of the scaffolding, but kept a tight hold on Modo, clutching both his legs. Modo remembered Mr. Socrates' pocket belt and drew the first thing he could put his fingers on. He pointed it at Gibbons, realizing too late that it was the fountain pen. Gibbons paused to look at it and was just about to laugh when Modo pressed the button and black ink shot out, staining Gibbons's face. His skin began to sizzle. He screamed, clutching his eyes as he fell to the ground. Modo, frightened of what was still dripping from the pen, dropped it and climbed up to Octavia.
"Next time, kick him in the head," she said.
At the top of the scaffolding, Modo was heartened by the early evening sunlight.
"Stand still."
Octavia grabbed his shoulders.
"I'll use you as a ladder."
He put out his hand and supported her weight, his legs shaking, the wood slats creaking on the scaffold. She stepped directly on his shoulders, then leapt onto the stone ledge above them. Modo jumped up and grabbed the ledge, while Octavia knelt and took his other dirty, gloved hand. She heaved and pulled until his chest hung over the lip of the hole. Kicking and squirming, he wriggled the rest of the way onto the ground, and when he'd finally caught his breath, he stood up.
St. James's Square.
He'd spent hours perched atop the London Library, looking down at the peaceful garden. Now, the statue of William III on his horse had been swatted aside. The iron fence surrounding it had been flattened. A woman with a baby stroller was still cowering with fear behind a bench. Water streamed in an arc where the giant had broken a fountain in two. A tree, its roots covered in dirt, lay tossed across a bench. On the southern edge of the road, a hansom cab had been overturned. One horse was still standing, the other on its side, kicking. A man's legs stuck out from under the cab.
"We must keep moving,"
Octavia said, hiking up the front of her skirts and tucking them into her sash. The pantaloons looked more like breeches.
"I'll be faster now."
"We can't go yet,"
Modo said. He darted over to the hansom cab, Octavia at his heels. Another man joined him. They grabbed the axle and lifted. Modo grunted, straining every muscle, raising the cab an inch, then another. People stopped to watch.
"Pull!"
he barked.
"Pull the driver out!"
Octavia dragged the driver to safety. His shins were bent back at an awkward angle, and he groaned,
"Me gams! Me gams!"
Modo dropped the cab, only realizing then that it was a bobby who had helped him with the lifting.
"What strength! Good work!"
The police constable tapped his canvas hat back. He looked Modo up and down. "Why are you wearing a mask?"
"A boiler accident."
"You've been beaten all to pieces. You came out of that hole. What's happening down there?" Octavia grabbed Modo's hand.
"I'm sorry, sir, but I must get my brother to the hospital."
As they ran across the square, they heard him shout,
"Halt! I want to speak with you!"
They sped straight out the south end of the square and careered onto Pall Mall, passing the Travellers' Club and Norfolk House. It was easy to tell where the giant had been. Wagons were overturned, and people stared in horror in the same direction it had gone. Modo and Octavia dodged through the clusters of people, skirting halted omnibuses. Two men with sandwich boards displaying patent boot black shrank back against the door to Queen's Theatre.
"Where's he steering, that thing?"
Octavia huffed as they ran.
"The shipyard?"
Modo could picture the giant poking holes in the sides of ships. But if the Guild wanted to sink ships, dynamite would have been a much simpler weapon. Partway down Pall Mall, another statue lay shattered. Soon, Modo saw the giant slouching toward Trafalgar Square, coaches and carts scattering before it. With one arm, the giant pushed over an omnibus, the horses neighing and breaking out of their harnesses, the passengers inside screaming, the ones topside leaping to the ground. The giant ploughed through the busy square, stepping past a bronze lion and smacking a claw against Nelson's column, chipping the granite. Modo expected the statue of Nelson to tumble to the ground, but it stood firm. The giant stepped into a fountain and out again, turning as though it had just made up its mind to go visit the National Gallery, then staggered in the opposite direction.
"Fur's lost," Modo thought.
It began to move clumsily down Charing Cross Road, the paving stones shattering like glass under its metal feet. Modo and Octavia ran as fast as they could, but the giant was picking up speed. Its gait was no longer so lopsided. Fur was gaining confidence in its operation.
"The Parliament buildings!"
Octavia exclaimed.
"Of course,"
Modo replied. If only he could climb to the rooftops, he'd move so much faster. But he could never abandon Octavia. He pushed past a stunned gentleman leaning on an umbrella and squeezed between two barristers in white wigs. He briefly lost sight of the giant, then the crowds grew more sparse and he and Octavia were able to run again. Approaching the Parliament grounds, they heard gunfire as the monstrous machine lumbered across the green lawn toward the Parliament buildings. The four guards fired away, gun muzzles flashing. Modo thought,
"No, don't hit the children."
He and Octavia ran across the yard, just as the machine took two quick strides and swatted away the guards. Fur yanked on a lever, and the giant's iron claw smashed the second-story windows of Parliament. Another lever made the giant kick down a door. Orderlies streamed out like ants.
"How do we stop it?"
Octavia shouted.
"How?"
Modo still couldn't believe that something so horrendous existed. There was a clattering behind them, and they turned to see a black carriage bounce off the road and onto the grass. The snorting horses stopped just before trampling Modo. He backed away and stood next to Octavia. The driver was a soldier in an unfamiliar black uniform, a rifle in a holster beside him. He jumped down, straightened his jacket, and opened the door to the carriage. Holding a top hat, out stepped Mr. Socrates.